shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth, worship the Lord with gladness. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. In the Bible it says, 2 Corinthians 5:7, it's one of my, I love it, I love this verse. It says, walk with faith, not by sight. And I think that means, God has a plan, and you might think that plan is silly, or it's not a good plan. It's the best plan. Follow God's word and follow what He says to do. You might have a plan, but sometimes that plan is not the best. It's not what God wants you to do. To be close with Him. So, when you leave, know that God has a plan for you. And follow that plan every step by step by step. Because it will work out. And it will let you be closer to Him. So, follow God's plan and remember that verse. Thank you. Let's have a great service. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this beautiful Sunday. We are close to the end of spring already. So, we are getting into summer. Thanks be to God for the seasons of the year and also the seasons of our life. We are also going through seasons in our lives. God has given us one more day to live in this world. Amen? Yes, it's a gift from God. It's not because of what we do or who we are. It is only because of His grace alone. So let us be thankful for that. God has given us this opportunity to worship Him here and also online together. The announcements, I will quickly go over that in the second page. If you can turn with me to the bulletin. Our food bank ministry is continuing. That helps the people in this community. Please donate in cash or in kind. My books are also here available for sale for $10. That will help our mission work. Our cooking and art classes will be scheduled based on we get volunteers for that and the children. And you all noticed that Wayne is not here today. He had a knee procedure he had to do. He's getting better. He talked to me last night. And hopefully he'll be here next Sunday. And he's looking for a major surgery for his knee sometime late in summer. So let's continue to pray for him and Carol during this time. The third Thursday luncheon will be on the 17th of April. That was gone, right? That's in May. The third Thursday on May, we will be meeting at Golden Corral for lunch and fellowship. Join that for... Oh, that's not open. Yeah, that's burned down. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that... You have to find another Golden Corral. There. It's close by. Okay, that's where we used to meet on lunch fellowship on third Thursdays. Okay. And today is the last Sunday of the month when we celebrate our blessings of the month, our birthdays, anniversaries, and graduations, any blessings, new homes, new jobs, new babies, anything that we can celebrate as a blessing that we had for the month, we remember and thank God for it and have lunch together after service with the Hispanic folks also together at the fellowship hall today. So all are welcome to join on that one. And then next Sunday will be the first Sunday in May. We'll have a Holy Communion. All are invited to the Lord's table for next Sunday. We warmly welcome Pastor Tim Owens and his wife Jenny to Piedmont Fellowship Church. And I've given you a heads up that we were looking for somebody to help us through this time. And I'm away, and also whatever way we can work together to get our ministry going for the future. Hopefully God will open some ways through Tim, and we'll pray for that, whatever. And he is also bivocational, like I used to be, and he has a full-time job, and he does this himself. He will tell you about himself later on, but I understand that he has a long history of ministry. Mostly Baptist churches, but he is more inclined, and he grew up in the Methodist church. Right. Yeah. So a good Baptist can become a good Methodist. That's what we believe. So we have a better, and many of these folks here have a Baptist background also. So that is a good thing. And I'm glad that you were able to join yesterday with Jenny. God is good, and he will continue to help us through our ministry here. And thank you for your continued and faithful support of the ministries of this church through your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue to do the ministry that God has given us in this community in this time of history. He has placed us here with a purpose. So let us do every opportunity that we get faithfully to serve this community. We take our donations on our website. If you go there and use that facility there through our website. Those are the announcements that I have. Anybody have anything else to add? Or anything that I missed? Anybody? No. Okay. Thank you all for joining our service today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 382, Have Thine Own Way.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, eager and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Savior, today. Wash me just now, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. And weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is mine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Oh, Lord, and me. Thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Please be seated.
Well, thank you so much for allowing my wife Jenny and I to be with you today to worship with you. This is a beautiful little church, a beautiful community. We live out in Grayson, Georgia, so it took us a little while to get here, but we enjoyed the ride, especially when you get out into the places that are still a little country up here, beautiful country. But I'm so glad to be here to worship with you. As the pastor said, I was raised in a little Methodist church, and the most important thing that ever happened in my life happened in that Methodist church, and that's where I found Christ and came to know him, and I'm forever grateful for that little church. Second most important thing that ever happened in my life also happened at that church, and that was me marrying my beautiful wife, Jenny. So I'm so thankful that she's with me. I'm going to lead us in prayer, but again, I just want to thank you for welcoming us. I have a dear friend here, Mark Howell. Mark's brother was my best friend in high school, and I did not know that. I didn't know that there was going to be somebody from my hometown here. So it's really good to see you, Mark. This is an unexpected blessing. So would you join me in prayer now as we go to the Lord? Father, how we thank you that this morning we know that Easter continues, Lord. We even now continue to celebrate the resurrection. Father, knowing that you have been raised from the dead gives us comfort, Lord, and reminds us that you are present with your people, that you are with us, and we are indeed the sheep of your pasture. So, Lord, help us today to worship you, to lift up our hearts, our needs to you, to be transparent before you. Help us to lift up our voices and lift up our hearts and our ears to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
It's our fellowship time now. If you're able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love. Our responsive reading is going to be from Psalm 29. Before that, I wanted to say a special welcome to Sam and Sally. They came here before, so you probably already know him. And we had prayed for him a couple of years ago. He had a major surgery, and he's glad that you were able to join here today. If you're able, please stand for the opening, stand for the responsive reading, which is Psalm 29, verses 1 through 11, which is on page 761 in the Blue Book. If you're able, please stand.
Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord upon many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars.
The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Sharon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oaks to whirl, and stripes the forest bare.
And in his temple all cry glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as ruler forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God.
You may be seated. Our prayer time now, we come before God with our prayers of blessings and to give thanks to God, and also we bring our prayers of burdens and concerns together to the throne of grace of God. In the meantime, today is also the celebration Sunday. Anybody have any celebration, any birthday, anniversary or anything to say thanks this month? Anybody? And if you turn with me to the back of the bulletin, we have our regular prayer requests in the boxes listed there. Please pray for these items and these people listed there. The ones that are in bold letters need our immediate prayer. Thomas John, who had a kidney transplant, he's recovering and getting well. Please pray for George Richard Jones. We pray for Sean and Amy Conway. Pray for Wayne as he's recovering. And also Carol, pray for Tiffany and family of Wes, who passed away during this grief time. Please pray for these people. Let us continue to pray for Jean McBrayer, Grace Haynes, Harry Basor, Carol Clemens, Jerry Raines, and all of those who are struggling with health issues. God has promised that he will heal our dear ones when we unite in spirit and lift up our dear ones in his hands. Also pray for the earthquake victims in Southeast Asia and also the people who are affected by the tragedy in Canada yesterday, with another terrorism or something happened. A truck ran into a crowd, killing several people in Vancouver. So please keep those families and people in our prayers. Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, our trash workers, grocery clerks, many, many others who work behind the scenes and serving us. Let us be thankful for their services and also pray for them and their family safety. Let us pray for our nation, our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress, governors, and many others who make decisions on a daily basis that affect our lives, that God will give them the wisdom to do the right things and make the right decisions. Also, let us pray for world leaders, that they will also fear God when they make decisions that will bring peace to this world. Let us pray for our church, and let us pray for all the churches in this community and around the world, for the pastors, the bishops, and all those who are in the vineyard, working for the glory of the kingdom of God in this world. Let us pray for them, and also pray for our churches in particular to do the work in this community faithfully with the opportunities that God has given us to do. As we look forward to the years, God is planning something better for us, and we believe that God will use us for blessing this community in many different ways. So let us be open to that. Those are my prayer requests. Anybody have any special prayer requests to call out? And Miss Lou is going back for another procedure for her back on Wednesday. Please keep her in our prayer. She has been going through a lot of pain with her back. And hopefully this procedure will give you some relief. Yes, we pray that God will work through that and keep her in our prayers, especially on Wednesday as she's going through this procedure. It will be effective, and God will give them, doctors and the technicians, the wisdom to do the right things. If we don't have any special calls for prayer, we'll go to God in prayer. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then I'll close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. The scripture teaches us in 1 John chapter 5, we read like this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have received what we asked of him. Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for this opportunity that you gave us to come together in this church to worship together here and also online. We also thank you above all for the privilege that you have given us as your children to come before you with our prayers of praises and prayers of concerns, and also to pray for other people. Thank you again for your Son Jesus Christ, through whom we have access to your presence, Lord. Thank you for the gift of life with all its joys, and the family and friends, and the gift of everything that we enjoy in this world is from you and you alone, and we thank you for that. Thank you for keeping us safe throughout this life in this world, even when we are not aware of it, Lord. Your hand is holding us safely through this busy world that we live. Thank you for your covering with your love and protection every day. We also come before you with many of our needs. Many of us are broken in many different ways, O God, broken in our bodies, broken in our souls and in our spirit. But you are the healer. You are the great physician, Lord. We lift up all those who are struggling with health issues into your hands at this time. Especially we pray for Wayne. Be with him during this time of his knee issues, and continue to bless him and Carol, his wife. Continue to be with him and comfort them and heal them during this time. We thank you for the continued progress and recovery for Thomas John, George Richard Jones, Sean and Amy Conway, and many others who have been praying for health issues. Thank you for your blessing of healing upon them. We lift up G. McBrayer and Grace Haynes and Harry Bezor, Carol Clemens and Jerry Raines, and all those who are struggling with various issues, that we pray for your healing upon them. We also pray for those who are grieving at the death of their dear ones, especially Tiffany and family. Bless them with your peace and comfort them with your presence, O God. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and grocery clerks, trash workers, and many, many others who serve us behind the scenes every day. We thank you for their services, O God, and we pray for their safety and their family safety. We pray for our nation, our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress, and governors, and many others who make decisions, that they, you will give them the wisdom to do the right thing and to make the right decisions that will bring peace and prosperity to our country, Lord. We pray for our world leaders, especially those who are working around the world in war-torn areas. We pray for your grace and wisdom upon them, that they will also fear God when they make decisions that will bring peace to this world. We pray for our church, O God. We thank you for this time in history that you have placed us here to do your work in this community. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in all the opportunities that you give us, Lord, to be faithful in using them to be a blessing to this community. We pray for all the churches in this community and the pastors and the bishops and many, many missionaries who are working in your vineyard in many parts of the world. We pray for your grace upon them. Be with them and empower them with your Holy Spirit, that whatever work they do will be effective and bring a lot of people to the kingdom of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you be with us today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. With all the saints in this world and angels in heaven, we adore you. Bless us with your presence, Lord, and touch each one of us with your word, with your presence, according to our needs. And as we go from this place, so that we can be more powerful for you wherever you place us, Lord. We thank you again for your presence here in our singing, in our meditation of the word and prayers we make. Bring honor and glory to your name. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please.
Please stand for the doxology. We're going to sing it in a cappella, and the words are on the screen.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you have given us. We offer these gifts as a sign of our gratitude and a pledge to use them for your glory. May these offerings be used to bring hope to the hopeless, comfort to the sick, and rest to the weary. Bless the givers and the gifts, that we might continue to work together in building your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from Luke 24, verses 13 through 32. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you doing discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us what they had seen, a vision of angels, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter in his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God and living word, we come before you and your word at this time, O God. Open our hearts and our souls so that we can receive your word with humility and obedience. Illumine our souls, O God, that we can understand the meaning of the message we hear. Help us, Lord, to meditate on your word day and night, that it will become life and spirit in us, and also life and spirit through us to the people around us. Bless us, Lord, with your power of the word today, and help us to be obedient to your spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that was a long passage. Thank you, Lisa, for taking time to read that and also keeping you on your feet on that. But I wanted to bring that story of post-resurrection story of the Bible. Christ's resurrection is part of recorded history. A lot of people challenge it, and even now a lot of people even challenge the existence of a person like that called Jesus in history. So people try to challenge and question our faith, especially when it comes to resurrection and life after death, that we are getting challenged all the time. But the life of Jesus is history, and it is recorded. And the death and resurrection of Jesus is also history, recorded. And this is one of the recordings that we read from the chapter, Luke's chapter, 24 today. Luke was not a Christian. He was a Greek person who was a historian. He was given an assignment by the Roman emperor at that time to make some history. And he wrote the Gospel of Luke and Book of Acts, according to the history. So he wrote two books. He was a Greek person who wrote the books. Eventually, he became a Christian. And that's how things happened. So he was basically a non-Christian, non-Judeo historian, basically. He was trying to put together some of the events of the time. So that is why I said it's a recorded history. Not only him, many other historians, non-Christians and non-Jewish historians, have recorded the life and death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we are not believing something that is a story, made-up story, but it's a historical fact that we need to understand, that it's a historical fact that Jesus rose from the dead and Jesus lived among us as a person also. Coming back from the dead is not an easy thing, is it? It's not. Have you ever tried it? Because you can't try. A few years ago, if I don't know if you, I talked to this before maybe, that there was a news piece about 2015. There was a guy who came back from dead in Ohio. He went missing all of a sudden, when he was about 25 years old, he went missing. So nobody knew where he went. Nobody could find him. So they looked for him. The family filed a missing person report, and they gave up on him finally. But after 25 years, he showed up. And when he showed up, it was very hard for him to come back to life, because wherever he went, he was recorded as dead. The county records show he was dead. He even have somebody in the newspaper had a person that he was dead. So it was very hard for him to come back to life. So when he went back to the court to reverse the ruling of his death, the court said, no, you can never get that back, because there's a 3-year limit for death rulings. So so this is a living person who is already dead on records. That's what happened. These are things that happened. I don't know if they changed the law to make him alive. I don't know what happened after that. But Christ's resurrection is recorded history. It is also more than a fact of history. It is the proof of our faith. It is the proof of our salvation. So it is not just a historical fact. It is also an experiential fact. As people of God, we experience the power of resurrection in our lives. So Jesus' life and resurrection is not just a historical fact, but also it's an experiential, personal experience in our lives. So that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is worthless. If Christ is not risen, our faith is not worthless. So basic foundation of our faith is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And also, we believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, and we will have a bodily resurrection when he comes. That is the foundation of our faith. Anything that is against this foundational faith is not Christian teaching. So we have to be grounded on this fact that Christ has come, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. I put that on the signage if you have noticed it. That is the basic foundation of our faith. Anything else that challenges us, we should be defending our faith on that. Okay, Luke is the only one among the gospel writers who actually writes this story about two men. After the third day of Jesus' crucifixion, it is a story that reveals us not about something about who we are, but also how the scripture opens our eyes to see who Jesus is. These two people who believed in Jesus, they were not two of the twelve, but they were also followers of Jesus who actually looked forward to a kingdom that Jesus would establish while he was here. But he was killed on Friday, and now this is the third day. He said he would rise up from the dead on the third day, but they couldn't find him. So they were completely disappointed. They were afraid of their lives, probably, and they were dejected, and they started a journey from Jerusalem. They were in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, and they started a journey back to Emmaus, probably their hometown. And one of them is named there as Cleopas. And he and his friend were traveling, walking toward, it's about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. If you have visited the Holy Land, you probably have been there, that place. The archaeologists have excavated the remains of that village dating back to the time of Christ, which they have identified as Emmaus. And that was considered to be the home of this particular disciple or follower, Cleopas and his friend. So they were walking a walk of failure and depression. After all those things that happened with Jesus, and they didn't have really much hope left, and they were depressed, and they took a walk of disappointment away from Jerusalem to their hometown. And they were talking to each other about these things, and they said how, you know, bad things happened, and we have to look for something different and make our own lives different, and Jesus is gone, and things like that. We were depressed and disappointed. And all of a sudden, a stranger started joining them. And the people who were walking and talking, this stranger also started joining in that conversation that they had with them. And he was listening to these two people. And then the stranger asked them, what are you talking about? And they said, you are the only one who didn't know what happened. You know, there was this big prophet who came here and lived among us, and the Jewish people crucified him and killed him. And he rose from the dead. The third day he said he will rise from the dead, but we this is the third day. We couldn't see him. But there are some people who said that they have seen him. But we don't know what's going on. So they were confused. And they were walking towards their hometown, this confused and disappointed and depressed and full of fear. So this was a walk of discouragement and confusion. The walk of sadness, walk of disillusionment, the walk of lost hope and broken dreams and stolen future. And they thought Jesus was dead. And so was their future. The journey had been long, and when you have 7 miles to walk, it's a long journey, especially if you are in a mental condition like that, it may feel like a long journey. So the appearance of the stranger who came to them was a surprise. And when I think about it, many of us have done that kind of journeys in our lives. When things happen suddenly in our lives and turn around and the way that we did not expect, and we were walking that walk of disappointment and disillusionment and confusion. Where is the God that we have believed in? We have probably walked, many of us, I don't have to tell you. Situations change. Things happen against what we have planned for. Sickness, death, separation, broken relationships, family members turning against us. And things like that happen all the time. I don't have to tell you. But during that times of confusion and disappointments in our lives, sometimes we doubt the presence of God. We doubt, where is God? And there is a whole psalm that talks about it. They ask you, where is your God? There are people in the Bible history and stories that we know that people have faced these situations. Remember the story of Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. He was dead and Jesus came and raised him from the dead. His sisters doubted Jesus. Because when they needed, their brother was sick, they sent some people to Jesus to come and help them out. Jesus did not come immediately. He stayed there for 2 or 3 more days. And they were questioning, where is Jesus? And then their neighbors were questioning, you had a friend like Jesus. You always talked about him. He did miracles. Where is he now? So that happens in our lives when we go through situations like this and we have a faith that we proclaim that God is good. That's what we say. But when we go through these situations, we sometimes think, where is God? Is he really good? And their friends might be asking, their neighbors may be asking, where is your God that you have been talking about? You worship every Sunday. You go to church every Sunday. Where is your God? You probably ask the same questions. But this is a story that will tell us that Jesus is a friend who comes to you in the middle of your confusion. He will never leave you abandoned. He will be suddenly, Jesus will show up. And if you go through your experience in the past, it is those times of confusion, it is those times of disillusionment and frustration and disappointment that you probably felt the presence of God the most in your life. When I went through things like that in my life, I can turn back and say, God was there with me. Even though I doubted him, he did not doubt me. He did not give up on me. He did not give up on me. He came to me and gave me the comfort and the peace that I needed, the healing that I needed. Even when I doubted him, his presence was with us. That is how God is. He's a faithful God. He will never leave us abandoned or forsake us. That is his promise. He started walking alongside with them and gave them the conviction that they needed. Then gave them the comfort that they needed and the courage that they needed during their time of confusion. They did not see him because they had a perceived idea of who Jesus was. Events had not turned out as they expected. They had their own preconceived ideas about Jesus and the events that take place. They thought that he would establish a kingdom and he would free them from the bondage of the Roman rule. But when things did not turn out the way they thought they should, they dismissed the whole thing and they thought it was a mere failure. Well, dear friends, while God has a plan, it is not always our plan. Many times we doubt God because things don't go the way that we have planned. We are not always able to understand it. God's plans are beyond our comprehension many times. When things don't turn out like the way we expect, instead of giving up and admitting defeat and becoming disappointed, it would be wise to see things differently. To see if maybe that God is up to something we simply do not understand. That is what this lesson teaches us. God is always with us, even if we think he is away. A little boy was eagerly waiting for a birthday party of his friend for an evening party. And when the day came, the weather was not very good. It was in the north with a lot of snow and ice, and blizzard came. So the parents said, well, this is not a good day to go out on the party. But the youngster was very disappointed. And he said, Dad, Mom, all the other kids will be there. And I will be very unhappy if I don't show up, and they will be unhappy. So finally, his parents decided, you know, let him go, and he was very happy. And he started his snow boots and all of that stuff, and he went in the snow and walked over about 10 minutes, but it took about 30 minutes to get there because of the weather. And he finally reached there, and he went to the door and knocked at the door, and before he got into the house, he turned around and saw somebody walking back. He said, who is that person? It was his dad. He was following his son all the way. That is what God does. Even when we find ourselves in the situations of weathery, stormy situations of life in our life, God will be walking behind you. He will be walking beside you, even when you don't see him. He will be there to take you and cover you and keep you. And that is how Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up in the middle of the storm. Remember all the story about the disciples struggling in the storm. They were afraid of their life. But Jesus walked on the water and showed up in the middle of the storm and calmed the storm and comforted them. Jesus showed up when they had no fish. Remember, they were fishing and they could not catch anything. But Jesus showed up and they said, you are doing the wrong thing. Go on the other side. And Peter, who knew better than that, Peter knew Jesus was not a fisherman, but Peter was a fisherman. Peter, Jesus was a carpenter's son. So what does he know about the sea? So Peter said, well, we are already tired, Jesus. But he said, Jesus, well, you do it on the other side, see what happens. And they tried it. And they were able to catch a lot of fish, and they were not able to even catch the net without strength. So that is what happens. And God shows up in the den of lions. We know the story of people who have been in lion's den, Daniel. And God showed up in the middle of that and shut the mouth of the lions. And also God shows up in the fiery furnace. I mean, these are all stories that you're familiar with. And we go through that fire. And the fire is really burning us, and we are afraid there is God going to be. And it says in that chapter where we read about the three boys that were thrown into the fire, there was a fourth person walking in the fire.
Yes.
And he looked like the Son of God. That's what he says there. Mm-hmm. He is the Son of God. He was pre-existing. Even before his life in this world, he was there with his people. Even when we are in the fiery furnace of life, and the fire is trying to burn us through this situation, there is going to be the Son of God who will be walking with us and giving us the courage and the conviction that we needed. Mm-hmm. So our expectations and our perception of God will not change his love towards us. No matter how you perceive him, he's the same. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he will be the same tomorrow. He's an unchanging God. His grace and mercies are forever and ever. His faithfulness is from everlasting to everlasting. And they were also blinded by their fears and doubts. Many times what happens is that our fears take over our faith. Fear and faith.
Amen.
These are two things. And what takes over? Many times during our weak moments, our fears take over our faith. That's what happens. When everything is good, our faith is strong, right?
Amen.
We are happy.
Yes.
But things go wrong and things are not getting better and every day becomes a challenge. then our fears take over. That's the devil taking on our weak side. Mm-hmm. And don't give in on to that. Always remember that even during those times, Jesus is with us as close as a breath. They had seen the empty tomb for themselves, yet they had not believed. How many times have we seen the empty tombs in our lives? Mm-hmm. When we thought that there was no hope, there was no way to go, God has opened many, many ways.
Yes, yes.
Many, many ways. Mm-hmm. And when you look at, always take a look back and see the faithfulness of God, and that is what they lacked at that time. They did not believe in the empty tomb. The supernatural working of God to raise Jesus from the dead was outside of their calculations. They had never seriously considered who Jesus was. We need to be careful not to make the same mistake, to discount what God has done simply because we cannot explain it or understand it. We like to understand things, right?
Yeah.
We like to understand things. But how many times you don't understand things and you still go and do it? You're going to do that on Wednesday. Do you understand anything?
Right.
They're going to put some kind of a chip behind her back, right? Yeah. Like a chip. She doesn't know what the chip does. But she doesn't understand. We don't understand a lot of things in our lives. But we just accept them, right? But when it comes to life and faith, it's the same thing. Many things we don't understand. But we need to accept it. Because God is good and He will be good. And that's a basic fact that we need to understand and keep reminding ourselves. So just because they knew about Jesus does not mean that they knew Him. Knowing Jesus personally is important. We know about Jesus. Many people know about Jesus. Mm-hmm. But we have to know Him as our personal Savior and our Lord. Mm-hmm. Many people today know who Jesus is. They have heard about Him, read about Him, used His name, and many even claim to know Him. They would not recognize Him if they saw Him. Their eyes have not been opened. That Paul says in 2 Corinthians that the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers and kept them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Many times the things of this world will blind us from seeing the glory of Jesus in our lives. If these two followers believed that Jesus had risen from the dead, two things would have happened if they had believed it true. One thing, their journey would be different. Instead of going away from Jerusalem, they will be going toward Jerusalem and staying in Jerusalem. That is what Jesus asked them to do, stay in Jerusalem. That is where the ministry is. Instead of going away from them, they will be going toward Jerusalem. And their talk will be different. Instead of having a talk of disappointment and failure, they will be talking about the power of God in their lives when they were walking. They will tell you that He was a good man. Many people will tell you He's a good prophet, He's a good teacher. But more than that, we need to experience in our life that He is the Lord of our life. And also He is a very good friend who will walk with us in the walk of life every day. When we are confused, we need to search the scriptures. That's what Jesus told them. During the walk, He opened the scriptures to them. And He told them about how the Messiah would come, how a Savior would come, and what kind of Savior would that be. Probably they were looking at the scriptures with Jesus about the coming of Jesus, the prophesied by the prophets. Maybe we read in Genesis that the son of the woman would crush the devil's head. That probably Jesus explained it to them. Or He was explaining it to them from Isaiah, who said the virgin will conceive a son and he will be despised and rejected by men. These are all scriptures that they forgot. Jesus opened the scripture to them and explained it to them. He was oppressed and afflicted. And also He probably explained a lot of other promises in the scripture that they probably overlooked. And then they explained it to them. We read that their hearts were burning within us when He talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to them. We need to go to the scriptures when we are confused. Everything you need is there in the scripture. Open it up and read it and believe it. Believe the promises of God until you feel that burning feeling that they experienced. When we actually get to the bottom of the scripture and experience it in our lives, it will give us, I call it the heartburn. It's a good heartburn.
Amen.
you don't have to take antacids for it. But that's a good heartburn to have when you have that kind of heartburn when you read the scripture. Scripture gives testimony of who Jesus is. And it will convict us in our situations and encourage us to be go with Jesus, to walk with Jesus every day. The living Word, who is Jesus, took them to the written Word to confirm them and empower them with the power of the Word. When the three travelers reached Emmaus, they had a meal together. And it is revealed that Cleopas and his companion who accompanied them is none other than Jesus, whom God has raised from the dead. And then he disappeared from their eyes. Can you imagine the excitement they must have felt? They said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he was speaking to us?" Their encounter with Jesus had been emotional. They stirred them on the inside. It had also moved them to take another journey back to Jerusalem. So their journey did not stop in Emmaus. They turned their journey. Whoever comes and experiences Jesus in their lives will have a U-turn in their lives. Everything will change when Jesus encounters you. Our life will change, our direction will change, our friends will change, even our families will change. That is what happens when you encounter Jesus, as these people had. They went back to Jerusalem. They witnessed for the kingdom of God after that. "I will never leave you or forsake you" is the promise from God in the Bible throughout. We need to take it to heart and experience it in our lives. You all probably know the footprints in the sand story. One night, this person was dreaming that he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes of his life flashed around. In each scene, he noticed the footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Sometimes there was only one set of footprints. And this bothered him because he noticed that during the low periods of his life, when he was suffering from anguish and sorrow and defeat, he could see only one set of footprints. So he was confused. And he asked, "Lord, you promised me that if I followed you, that you would walk with me always. But I noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there is only one set of footprints in the sand. Why, God? Where are you?" And then God said, "The times when you have seen only one set of footprints, it is when I carried you."
Amen.
So don't be doubting God. He's carrying you in the palm of his hand, and you are safe, and he is close to you as a breath. Friends, we can take either our journey toward Jerusalem with courage and power, or we can walk away from Jerusalem with disappointments and discouragement. As people of God, God wants us to take the journey to Jerusalem, to take up the ministry and the opportunities that you got to give us so that we can be living a powerful Christian life rather than an unhappy and disappointed Christian life. Jesus said to his disciples, "I will never leave you as orphans. I will come to you," in John 14:18, before his death. And he's going to come back again. And we believe that he will come again and will restore us from this physical body that will perish. He will give us an imperishable body. And he will take us to heaven with him, where we will be living together with our dear ones one day. That is our great hope. As people of God, be empowered and encouraged as you go from this place. Be always convinced that Jesus is with you all the time. May the good Lord bless us with these words as you go from this place to be his witnesses for his kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Our closing hymn is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." If you are able, please stand. It is 526 in the blue book. If you are able, please stand for the closing hymn.
Have in Jesus all our sins. blessings and grace to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we offer to pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Every trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? Be discouraged, take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. The Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the Lord of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, thou wilt find a solace there.
People of God, no matter what situations you find yourself in, remember that Jesus is going to be there close to you, as close as a breath. Every breath we take is God's breath. And let us be reminded of the fact that he will never leave us or forsake us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.